vote today and tomorrow.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go.
And you
thought
again.
Have no place to go.
What are you wearing there?
Darling.
Oh, I see you're not wearing
no
pants.
Place to go.
That would be a hindrance.
Have no place to go.
But not at all polling places.
Goodbye, baby.
Your experts believe Lori Lightfoot will be the mayor of Chicago by this time later tonight, certainly by tomorrow morning. But you just don't know until the last vote is counted. That's the first cliche of the show today. And today, Chicago will do something historic and elect the first African-American female mayor, Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle. And the inside money is on Lightfoot. And then I would assume she'll wake up tomorrow morning and go, what the hell have I gotten myself into? So
after she does her rally, her peace rally with Tony, you know, with
the mandated Jesse Jackson peace rally?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all possible. Let's get after it here with the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
You know, we are MAVA. MAVA. Make America Vote Again. And we'd love to get out and vote today because there's really no excuse not to. It's going to be a beautiful day. And it couldn't be easier to vote in Illinois. A lot of things in Illinois are hard, but voting isn't. You can register even today at your designated polling place. Temps range from, what is it? 40-ish now, something like that?
Mm-hmm. 50, maybe even 50-ish.
Is it that close to 50?
Yeah.
And it'll be 55 or what, or warmer later on today? So you have no excuse, Steve. You have no excuse not to get out and vote. None.
Vote early and often. There, I did another cliche.
There you go. That's the second cliche of the show. But please do get out and express your choice. You know, if you don't vote, don't bitch. And again, we'll have a new mayor tonight. Not tomorrow. Is Justin doing the May the election coverage? Justin
they are. Kaufman? They're doing it from the Billy Goat.
Yep.
The one downtown here.
Is the Billy Goat a polling place?
It is probably one of the biggest media political hangouts you can find. So it's kind of a cool place to have election coverage.
Yeah.
It's
a polling place right in our building.
Yeah, down in the lobby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Andre will be with Justin, I believe.
There's a polling place in this building?
Yeah. Right downstairs.
By the newsstand?
Below the escalator. Yeah.
I should probably go vote.
I did twice before
don't
I came in
this
can,
morning. Steve.
Yeah, you don't live Chicago. In the city, Steve.
Speaking of going downstairs.
But I'm a very influential person.
You are. You are. You deserve a vote.
In our building, that escalator going down has been shut down
for what is up with that?
Weeks.
I think it's broken.
What do you mean? It was open the other day when I went up.
Down.
Yeah. Oh, down.
Yeah. Just turn it into stairs.
I know. It's weird, I think.
You don't need an escalator.
I don't use
I just
stairs.
Said, turn it into stairs.
Yeah, I don't use the escalator, but it bothers me that the down
right.
has been broken for weeks.
Right, you can't find Otis? Isn't Otis the elevator guy in charge of that, too?
You know, all that equipment is under it, like they've been trying to fix it. I wonder if we even have the money to fix it. It kind of looks like a situation where, I don't know, maybe fatally broken. So
they're dangerous anyway.
Can I tell you the parking garage in the building, the elevator from the parking garage... Sounds like the cable's going to snap every
it's
time
really
you push a button.
Really slow lately. It's been really slow.
Come up in the parking garage.
The elevator I get on every morning acts like it's trying to close like 100 times before it actually closes.
Oh yeah. That happens.
This isn't an old building. What's going on?
I don't know. They took away the fish and things went downhill.
Yeah.
You think that's directly related?
I do.
Could be. next.
Mama!
Thank you. Emergency aid stalled as the Senate voted down two disaster relief bills on Monday as Republicans and Democrats clashed over President Trump's opposition to more help for Puerto Rico. Remember the old days when stuff would get done once in a while? Ah, gosh. Next.
Mama!
New scrutiny on White House clearances. This is a big story. Senior Trump administration officials granted security clearances to at least 25 people whose applications had been denied by career civil servants whose job is to decide if you get classified information security clearance. These are the secrets of the nation. This is the stuff everybody wants. And we have 25 people who didn't qualify, who Trump said clear them anyway. A White House whistleblower has told Congress, said that she, I think it's a she, tried to get the information out, tried to go to her superiors, and they all blew her off. So that's comforting. Next.
Mama.
According to latest data from the United States Department of Agriculture, Americans would run out of avocados in 3 weeks. Now, let's go live to Dave on this, our booze on. Dave, how important are avocados to booze?
Why? To booze? I don't think no. they really
I
are.
I heard this on the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. He reported this at the top of his show. And they're very important to our guacamole and my BLTA consumption.
Well, then why wouldn't it be important to booze then? Because you'd have you know your chips and dip.
I think booze is tied in, and limes are tied into the whole. I only highlighted the avocados on that list there, but the
gotta have margaritas with guacamole.
I'm a big fan of avocado, and we go to dinner with a couple that where the wife does not like avocados, and it bothers me.
I don't like avocados.
You're kidding me.
No, I like avocados.
Why don't you like avocados?
That's green.
I love avocados.
I love avocados.
It's got nothing to do with booze.
Right.
Now, do you like guacamole, but you just don't like it? What?
Well, what do you think guacamole is?
Oh, my God.
I'm just kind of neither here nor there on guacamole.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm going to put on chips.
What do you have? Put on chips?
Salsa.
Yeah, salsa. Yeah, salsa.
Salsa.
I don't really put it on it.
But there's
the
green stuff in salsa.
What?
What were we going to say, Kazanich?
This is bigger than avocados, too, by the way. Nearly half of all of the vegetables that are imported into the country come from Mexico. 40% of all of the fruit that we import grown in Mexico. So a closed border with one of our biggest trading partners would be a big deal for the economy.
Oh, it's a huge deal. Yep. $1.8 billion a day in economic impact. But the president overnight has already given up on health care by Republicans until after the election. So I would assume that this is going to go away as well. He only means it sometime. The president and chief executive of Mission Produce, largest distributor and grower of avocados in the world, said, "You got 3 weeks, people." So the avocado scare is on. And isn't the hippest thing for millennials avocado toast?
Yes.
Yes.
I love avocado toast.
Had some for breakfast on Sunday, even
not
though
anymore,
I'm not
Dave.
A millennial.
Not anymore.
Really?
Not anymore. You should, like, you know, store it. Make a lot of avocado toast and then store it.
We get the tub of guacamole at Whole Foods.
Which
I know,
love,
Dave. You get it,
which
too.
Which is great.
Wait.
Guacamole?
Yeah, it's great.
They have kale in it. It's really good. And, you know, it's like almost $10. And I think with this avocado scare,
yeah,
it's going to be like
50.
20. Yeah.
The good thing about this is that you can still buy salsa made in New York City.
I'm good.
Guacamole.
Guacamole.
I'm going to bring some in tomorrow.
I'm going to
have you try it.
I'm going to say what I've said to you before, Dave. There is other food available.
But so. Mary likes it, too.
I
Mary
do.
Eats
really good.
Normal
yeah,
stuff.
No, you're both wrong. Next.
Mama.
How'd the White Sox do?
White Sox lost.
Okay, but an impressive debut by...
Ivanova, their starting pitcher, pitched well. It was a pitcher's duel up until the eighth inning, and he was good. Mike Clevenger of Cleveland was also really good.
Bullpen blew it?
The bullpen did give up the lead in the eighth inning after the Sox had taken the lead in the top of the eighth. And it was rough from that standpoint, but the starting pitching, not bad at all in a day the White Sox didn't hit. Just three hits all day. And so they're 1-3. Take a day off today.
Well, that lines them up to win on Thursday, then.
What's our magic number?
There's
still pretty high.
Yeah, it's way up there still. And the Cubs also lost last night.
And the Blackhawks lost in overtime, and the Blackhawks continue to hang on by the slimmest of slim threads.
It's impossible to be hanging on by any slimmer thread than they've got right now.
Right. Colorado needs 1 point in their final three games.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, I think the tiebreaker is regulation overtime wins.
Correct.
And regulation overtime wins means not shootout wins.
Correct.
And I believe the Blackhawks are two games behind in that category.
I think they've got the tiebreaker there. I think it depends.
They have the tiebreaker in head-to-head. I did do that. But regulation overtime wins is a harder statistic to find. And I believe Colorado has 35 and the Blackhawks have 32.
We'll double check that. I think the Hawks have the tiebreaker. I think now if you get more teams tied, then it gets even more complicated.
Right.
So,
and eventually it turns into wrestling.
Yes.
And finally this.
Mama!
Can you imagine big old cruise ships on Lake Michigan? It's possible. The cruise lines are talking about starting to use the Great Lakes as a cruise attraction. 11,000 miles of shorelines, including islands. And cruise ship companies wanting alternatives for passengers might be tired of going to the Caribbean. Oh, the Caribbean again. Or making a long flight across the ocean for a European voyage.
They're smaller ships, though. They're going to about 84 passengers is what these hold. But it actually,
it's a good idea.
I'm thinking, because I don't want to get on a plane and take the kids, you know, to Miami to get on a boat and, you know, do the safety and all that business. But I might hop on a Great Lakes cruise.
Go to Grand Haven and come back?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice as long as they keep the Great Lakes clean. Don't dump their garbage in the Great Lakes. Because those big ships, don't they often dump their garbage out?
Yeah, it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
The weird thing is,
we're going to throw it overboard.
They have a route, Chicago to Montreal, but it's $4,500 a person. And I was thinking it should be cheaper.
$4,500?
Right? Isn't that expensive?
$4,500, wow. I can hire an Uber.
I know.
But it comes with all the guacamole you can get.
Do you ever have Super Joe eat guacamole?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You don't even know it's
You know
in
why,
there.
Joe?
Because kale and guacamole. I think it's pretty simple.
You know why, Dave? Or, you know, Dave. You know why, Joe? Because other food's available.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's all we have for your... Oh, yes, Dave.
Just on the ROWs?
Yeah.
I think what we're assuming is the Blackhawks winning out, they would then have the ROW. And Colorado losing, the Blackhawks would then have the tiebreaker.
Oh, there you go.
So,
okay.
So that's how they get that.
That's how they get you?
That's how they got us.
Okay. Colorado's got to lose all three. We got to win all three.
Yeah.
That's a piece of cake. Next Blackhawks game is when?
Tomorrow night against the St. Louis Blues.
In St. Louis?
No, it's here.
No, it's here.
Two more here, then
Nashville.
One last game at Nashville.
Okay. At 6:20, as my brother Mickey put it when he called me this morning, as he does every morning, doesn't look good for the Blackhawks. No, it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. At 6:22, that's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Guacamole, 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 guacamole.
Super Joe, do you like guacamole?
Sure do.
Mm. How about you, Michael Heidemann? Michael Heidemann says yes. Dave says yes. Sandberg says yes.
What was Mary Vandeveld's decision on guac?
I love it.
Okay.
Steve Grzena?
Oh, I love guacamole, but not guacamole.
So I'm the only outlier on guacamole, huh?
You don't like guacamole?
Apparently.
No.
Oh,
like
from the 773, I'm with you, Steve. I'm a vegan and I can't stand avocado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Have you had Chipotle's guacamole?
No.
You should try.
It is amazing.
Good. It is really good, yeah.
I just had it last
Chipotle
week.
Chipotle guacamole is amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's really good.
Really good.
Even their commercials feature the guacamole smasher, the avocado, like they have a big metal bowl. In the
Have you got Uncle Julio's where they make it at the table?
Yes. Yeah, on table side.
Yeah, now I'll watch the guy make it, and then I'll pass it on.
Mariano's has a guacamole bar where, I mean, they'll make it for you to order.
What do you mean to order?
I mean, you...
Like you order special guacamole?
Different kinds of guacamole. You can just walk up there and they'll make it.
Well, like, what would I order? What would a variation be?
I don't know.
Spicy, mild.
Yeah.
If you want extra tomatoes, you know, there's variation. More onion.
More pepper.
Garlic.
Yeah. So, because that may be the problem, Steve. You may have had guacamole that's missing something, like maybe more spice
like taste.
And then the other thing is maybe it's the chip that you're using with the guacamole too. You've got to get something maybe with a little lime flavor to it.
See, that's where Chipotle's chips are.
Why can't I just have my regular salsa with the chips that I have? Why can't I just do that? Why can't you people just leave me alone?
Maybe somebody snuck kale into the one that you had, and that's what you didn't like, was the kale.
You know my mission, eliminate kale from the planet.
From the 224, they said that they don't like it either because of the texture.
And then it turns brown. That's the only nasty
Well, you
got to
eat it quickly.
Yeah, yeah, right. It doesn't last long.
If you flip the container over
It doesn't seem like a food you would eat quickly. It's pasty.
But it's smooth. It goes down. What you need is a margarita. They go hand in hand, the guacamole.
I don't think you want me drunk.
Or cerveza.
Yeah. If you turn over the container, though, the guacamole container in your refrigerator, it doesn't turn brown. That's a life hack.
Turn up why?
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
I never
I don't
knew
know.
That.
It has
mind
to do
blown.
With it.
What, gravity keeps it from turning brown?
I don't know what the air. I'm not sure if the lids aren't airtight. I don't know. But
what do you do? You turn it upside down?
Turn the container upside
just
down.
Just a container. You don't have to do anything special with it.
Yeah. I always put it on a paper towel just in case there's some leakage or something. That's just me, but I do.
What kind of paper towel?
I use Bounty.
Yeah.
White. The
white,
pure white.
All white.
Yeah. And it turns green.
Only way to go.
Happy National Ferret Day. Today's National Ferret Day. So if you have a ferret, I guess you got to buy him a gift. Today is also National Love Your Produce Manager Day. And speaking of guacamole,
there you go.
Right? Yeah.
It all ties together.
Tomorrow's Tweed Day. Dave, do you own anything tweed?
Not anymore. I used to have a tweed jacket.
I don't think I have anything tweed. Tomorrow's also, Thursday is National Tell a Lie Day.
Oh.
Well, that's Donald Trump Day. Right? That's Thursday. Saturday is National Deep Dish Pizza Day. These are all in April. Somebody sent me this, and this is generally your biggest hack, radio guy, and TV guy time fill to go to the special days of the month thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm fascinated.
Well, wasn't it just National Pizza Day last week?
Was it? I don't know.
Yeah. Mary?
It's like every week. Yeah. This Justin, this Friday, I know Steve Cochran won't be here, but I may have set up a Lou Malnati's pizza drop.
I hope you have guacamole on it. April 6th
is a bad idea, actually.
April 6th is International Pillow Fight Day. Dave and I had a pillow fight out in Phoenix.
It was fun.
Yeah.
During the show.
Yeah. Basically, every time the line went down to here, we just hit each other with pillows.
You just threw a pillow across the room
and cursed. Again,
it just happened to hit me.
Steve's cursing and throwing a pillow again. April 7th is International Beaver Day. Make up your own jokes here. April 7th is also National Beer Day. Dave, what do you do on National Beer Day?
What's the date?
April 7th. Just have beer? Is that generally the celebration?
I didn't know there was a National Beer Day.
Monday through Friday is National Beer Day?
No.
Saturday, Sunday,
no,
too?
No, I never said that.
April 10th is National Siblings Day. I have a brother and two sisters. And again, they're not getting anything. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be in debt if I had to buy for all mine.
Yeah, you got like 10.
Well, it's 7 total.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, with the exception of Beaver Day, these all sound like Hallmark gift card days. Inspired gift days.
Yeah, I imagine there's not a card for Beaver Day.
Mm-mm. No.
April 11th is International Louie Louie Day. That's, by the way, the exact words.
Yeah, pretty much.
April 12th is National Licorice Day. There's only one kind of licorice. Red strawberry licorice. Those that's it.
Twizzlers?
Yeah, the Twizzlers. That's it. The black licorice, they should use that as punishment for prisoners.
I don't mind the fruit punch pull-and peels. Those are the ones where you pull them.
I was in a band called tiny... the Fruit Punch Pulling Peels.
It's like spaghetti.
Let's see. April 12th, Walk on Your Wild Side Day. Well, let's just get your freak on, right? That's, yeah.
Yeah. While you're getting your taxes finished.
Here's a day that I don't believe has a card either. April 14th, National Reach As High As You Can Day. Oh! Just get stuff off the top shelf? What is that?
Well, it could be the card could be on that high shelf that you never look up on. So we may have just never seen it.
I'm being told it's goals.
I was going to say it's a day to aspire to greatness.
And first half of the month is April. Good news. I'll do the second half of the month sometime later in the show. April 15th is National That Sucks Day.
Yeah.
So, it's the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. I wonder if the IRS picked the 15th for that reason. The Titanic went down on the 15th as well.
A listener from the 708 says, today is National Autism Day.
Oh, that's very good.
That might be why the wheel at Navy Pier is purple.
Autism is blue, though, isn't it?
I think the wheel is blue, Dave. Is it blue?
Oh, is it blue? Yeah. Okay. You said it was purple.
I'm colorblind. What do you want from me? 634. We'll come back to the headlines next at 720 WGN.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I was hanging out with the world's greatest granddaughter, Abigail Grace, just today. Yeah, she's 3 and a half now. She's her own tiny person. And she has what I believe to be the toddler version of when a woman, an adult woman, says, we need to talk. Because now she says, Pop, can I tell you something? Well, yes, you can. Yes, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Of course you can tell me something. It's not nearly as scary, but it's a start. All right, let's get the kid of the week on. This is Kristen Adam, 11 years old. And Kristen, where are you from?
I am from Illinois.
And what town do you live in?
I live in Huntley.
Okay. And
We have one of our longest broadcasters here at WGN lives in Huntley.
Orion Samuelson.
Yeah, it's a fantastic town.
He is 74 years older than you, Kristen.
Okay.
That's a lot of math. Kristen, what's your favorite thing about school?
My favorite thing about school is probably art class.
And what's special about art? Are you artistic, I assume?
No, I just don't have to learn anything.
Okay, all right. I like that. I get it, too, yeah. To be honest. All right, so Kristen recently had a book published on Amazon. What was the book called?
My book was called Dear Celiac.
And do you have celiac disease?
Yes, I do have celiac disease.
Explain to people what that is.
It is not an allergy. It is an autoimmune disease.
And is it digestive?
Yes. If you digest gluten, my stomach attacks itself.
So some people say they want to see a gluten-free menu at a restaurant, but they're just hobby gluten-free folks. They don't really have the condition. This is the serious part of it. This is the part where you literally can't eat gluten because it'll make you sick.
Right.
And does anybody else in your family have it?
No one in my family has celiac disease.
That's not fair.
Right.
But you've adjusted, obviously, and you're careful about what you eat. But the book was written because you want to do what?
I want to have kids with celiac disease didn't feel as lonely as I did in the beginning.
Yeah, because you didn't know. You didn't know you weren't the only one, right?
Right.
So tell me about how you get through your particular day, because you're around food you can't eat all the time. You just know that you can't eat it?
Yeah, what I usually do for lunch is I pack my lunch.
That's
so
smart.
I don't get cross-contaminated with the other foods at school.
And it's probably gotten to a point where it's routine, right? No big deal?
Yeah, no big deal.
All right.
If I can tell you, this book, you can buy it at Amazon, Dear Celiac, by Kristen Adam and Tiffany Van. Hey, how do you say your teacher's last name?
Van Eisendorn.
Eisendorn. The cover, I know the teacher did the illustrations. It has what I assume is you, Kristen, in a roller coaster. And behind her is bread, cupcakes, a burger, a hot dog, a pizza, a cookie on the carts of the roller coaster. Because having a disease like this is similar to being on a roller coaster ride, right?
Yes, you have a big roller coaster ride.
That's very cool.
It's a really cool book. So people should get this at Amazon. You could just look it up, Dear Celiac. Is there what besides writing books, Kristen, what else do you do in your free time?
What I like to do is play soccer.
What position do you play?
I like playing defense.
Okay. All right.
Do you ever go in goal?
No. Yeah. No. I'm scared if the ball will hit me in the face.
Goalies are crazy, aren't they?
They are crazy.
Yes, they are.
Really are. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an engineer.
What kind of engineer?
Like builder, like building, like my grandpa did. He built bridges.
Wow.
I kind of want to do that.
Like a civil engineer.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, we need better bridges. We need better, you know, that's called infrastructure, Kristen. We need better infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And we need young women doing it.
So. Absolutely. You know, I Kristen, I host an engineering awards thing pretty much every year. And each year there's more and more women in the business. So I think you've picked a good choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kristen, do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have a younger sister named Natalie.
How is she to deal with?
I mean, you guys.
I'm sorry, what?
You guys pals, or is she annoy you?
Both.
Yeah. So she's your little sister, but she bugs you. Sandberg knows something about that. She has a little sister that bugs her.
Oh, my sister drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And we're old, and she still is. She's still my best friend, but she drives me crazy.
It's life. That's life. Kristen, who do you want to say hi to this morning?
I want to say hi to all my family that's watching, and I also want to say hi to kids with celiac disease.
You're an impressive young lady, and we're not going to give you a pizza.
No, we're going to give her an Apt gift card. She can get herself some headphones.
Yeah, get yourself some headphones or whatever else at Apt. So thanks for being on. You're the kid of the week.
Yay.
All right, nice job. Hold on.
You know, it's funny, these autoimmune diseases, my sister has ulcerative colitis, which is, you know, autoimmune of the stomach as well. And they are challenging because they're inexact sometimes. Like, even if you eliminate the foods you're not supposed to eat, you can still have... Your stomach can choose days to attack itself. And
Ross is in kind of a gray area because he's never been diagnosed with celiacs, but essentially anything with gluten he can't eat. So, and it's not easy.
No, and when you're dining with people or they're coming to your house, like when my sister's coming over for dinner and you're like, oh, what are we going to serve Katie? You know, like so I feel bad. You know, you talk to Kristen and you think, well, she's so sweet. We should cater to her. But the rest of us don't want to give up the gluten, you know?
No, and, you know, at 11 years old, knowing what that is, that's a big deal to be able to figure out life. Maybe she'll come up with a cure.
And to be diagnosed, you know how many doctor's appointments she had to go through?
A lot, I assume.
Yeah, it's awful.
My sister has celiac disease as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, and like you said, you know, there's so many people that do it for the trendy reason, but really it's a gluten intolerance.
Right.
You know, she can't even have something like if I were to have a peanut butter and jelly and use the peanut butter and, you know, spread it on the bread, once it goes back into the peanut butter, that peanut butter is now contaminated.
Is that right?
That's out. Yeah.
So just for using the knife in the peanut butter?
Yeah.
I don't even know that.
Learn that the hard way.
Yeah, you don't want to make people sick. Well, depends on the people. It's 6:52. Let's come back in a few minutes here. Oh, you know what? I'll finish up April because I know all of you are on the edge of your seat wondering what other holidays you need to celebrate. There's reasons to celebrate in April because April, it's spring now. I don't know if you heard. April 16th, National Stress Awareness Day. I mean, if you forget, you stretch out.
That's the day after taxes, right?
That would be a day to relax.
Yeah.
If you're single and you want to meet an accountant, go to O'Hare on April 16th. They're all there. They're all there trying to get out of town. April 17th is National Haiku Poetry Day. Haikus are stupid. Poems should rhyme. It's easy to smile when life's worthwhile and all is bright and chipper, but the man truly worthwhile is the man who can smile when he catches himself in his zipper. Now that's poetry.
Yes, it is.
April 27th, National Amateur Radio Day. Well, that's like Mancow Show, International Amateur Radio. April 28th, or I should say April 19th, is National Hanging Out Day. That's not a day.
It's a way of life.
April 29th is Lima Bean Respect Day. That's another thing I won't eat. I don't eat lima beans.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like lima beans.
We had to eat those as kids. Yeah.
Okay, 0 for 3. Super Joe, lima beans?
Yeah, that's out. Big time.
Okay. Michael Heidemann, lima beans? No on the lima beans? Mary Vandeville, lima beans?
Yeah, isn't that what kids stick up their nose?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Steve?
Yes.
I do enjoy lima beans, yes.
Okay, 1 for 7.
Yeah, we had to eat them.
They're mealy.
Yeah.
April 21st, National Bulldogs Are Beautiful Day.
I like bulldogs as well.
You don't eat bulldogs, do you?
No, but I like to pet them.
Oh. What is it? National what?
Bulldogs Are Beautiful Day.
Oh, yeah. My sister will celebrate that.
Biscuit is beautiful.
Biscuit is beautiful.
April 22nd, National Jelly Bean Day. Ooh. I don't like jelly beans.
Oh, my gosh. I consumed like a whole bag yesterday.
I love
jelly
beans.
Now, which kind did you have, Mary?
My favorite are the yellow and the red.
No, I mean, did you get like...
Oh, Brock's.
Brock's, okay.
Yeah, you can't buy the jelly...
I like the Jelly
aren't
Belly.
They just colored,
Starburst ones. No,
aren't
you
they
can't eat them.
Colored congealed sugar? Isn't that what jelly beans
yeah,
are?
Yeah, I don't like the ones Mary's eating. I like the Starburst ones. You don't like those?
No, I don't. I have to have Brock's.
They're tangier, the
All right,
Starburst
so you like
ones.
Jelly beans. You like jelly. Dave, jelly beans?
I'm not a big candy guy, but I don't mind them.
Super Joe?
Yeah, don't mind them, I guess. Wouldn't be my choice at the...
I'll put you both down for a half vote of yes.
My Michael? Carrot bowl at home is filled with them right now.
Michael's a no on
Ooh,
jelly beans.
Carrot bowl.
Steve Grzanich?
Love jelly beans, especially the pink ones and the purple ones.
So, Mary, you already have your Easter stuff out?
Oh, for sure. I've had it out for weeks.
I didn't finish the census.
Well, I know. She has her jelly beans are in her carrot
bowl.
Yeah,
my ceramic carrot bowl.
I lost track of the count, but I believe it's 3 into jelly beans, possibly 4.
We like
I once recently, my friends once tested me on Jelly Bellies, and they had 20 Jelly Bellies, and I didn't know what flavors they were, and I got all 20 of them right.
Look at you. Do they give you a certificate?
No, it says you don't have skills. Right.
Some of those I don't like, though I used to be addicted to the buttered popcorn Jelly Belly.
That sounds nauseating.
I know. It seems weird, but it was deliciously sweet, but then I ate too many.
My nieces have a game, too, that's a Jelly Belly game that has these really nasty jelly beans. There's one like soap and there's
booger.
And
Yeah, the Harry Potter jelly beans.
Yeah, they're nasty.
Oh, you got to get out of the house.
Can we get Steve the nasty ones and do a video of him eating them?
Absolutely
please,
not.
Come on.
Nope.
People want to see that.
Did
Abigail throw cheese at your face last night?
No, we forgot.
Damn.
April 23rd, National English Muffin Day.
Oh, I love an English muffin.
English muffins are good.
You know where I really like one? On a sausage McMuffin with egg from McDonald's.
Well, that would be the container for the sausage.
I know. And I like it to be toasted where there's a little crisp on the edge of the egg McMuffin.
Can I tell you I had one this morning?
Shut up.
Nope, I did.
Was it so good?
Yeah, it was really good.
That meat is so salty and delicious.
Yeah.
My mouth is salivating now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought I'd share that with you. April 25th is World Penguin Day.
I love penguins. They're funny.
Yeah, penguins are great.
April 26th, Hug an Australian Day.
Oh, do we know an Australian?
I don't know an Australian.
On your way to visit penguins.
Remember we had that Australian couple who got married and
oh, yeah, and they were on their honeymoon and the dude wanted to come to see the Bulls.
And the Blackhawks. They're big Blackhawks fans. You watch the Blackhawks on cable and the Bulls on cable, whatever cable is in Australia. And I don't even know the time difference. It's a lot. I think that's what they call it, the time difference. It's a lot.
A lot, yeah.
So you want to see the Blackhawks and the Bulls. Big Chicago fan.
Yeah, they had like a month-long honeymoon.
Yeah, traveling all over the place. I wonder if they're still together.
Sure. Actually, he emailed me not long ago. Did not mention their marital status, but he was asking about the Bulls.
Email him back. Ask him if they're still together. Tell him I asked. April 26th, National Pretzel Day.
Yum.
Unrelated, April 26th, National Hairball Awareness Day.
Ew.
That looks like about it for April. Those are great days to celebrate, though. You think I'm just wasting time on the show? And these are important topics to discuss. April 30th, National Honesty Day. That is not a Donald Trump holiday. And there you go. Everything you needed to know about celebrating in April. Just another service of the Steve Cochran Show, where we come back with the headlines from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Make America vote again today. Mama, vote today and tomorrow. Mama, come
on. Talented and lovely Anna DeLantis will be in here later. We'll talk a little bit more about the mayoral race. She's a city resident and other stuff.
But this means something to everybody.
The mayor's race?
Yes, because we are going to have, we're history, we're going to either have an African-American female or an African-American female.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't live in the city of Chicago. You don't live in the city of Chicago. But we work in the city of Chicago. And wherever you're listening in the Midwest, I mean anywhere, Chicago matters.
Yeah, and there's trickle effect for me in the suburbs. If the city is a hot mess,
well, you can't
things
have
aren't
it.
Looking good for me out there in the suburbs.
Well, and the other thing that we're excited about here in the city, because I do live in the city, the possibility that we might have our first openly gay mayor in the city of Chicago.
Yeah,
yep.
This is
that's
exactly
a huge
right.
deal.
The whole world is watching it. We're like, this will be the largest city with an African-American female, and then
well, the exciting thing about
gay.
That is breaking down these, breaking another wall down, throwing the labels out. You know, there's another label you don't have to attach to people, because it would be great if we were saying that, the most qualified person for mayor won, and this wouldn't have to be a label attached. But good for Lori Lightfoot for living her life the way she needs to live it. I mean, you know, fully supportive, as everyone I would hope would be at this point. Good God, it's 2019.
And for both of these mayors, I was reading a thing in the Tribune a couple days ago, just their approach, not that they're similar, but they are not a business first, you know, their neighborhood first, you know, their approach. It's going to be a different, it's a different era for Chicago, regardless of who wins.
Yeah, and the Aldermanic stuff is going to be big tonight, and then the ongoing issue, because, Steve, I've always felt that if you can control the alderman, you can be a good mayor. And I literally mean control the alderman, but there's a bunch of interesting aldermanic races, and then there's a question of aldermanic prerogative, and it'll be interesting to see. Let's say Lori Lightfoot holds this pre-vote position where polls show her to be 15 to 30 points up, depending on the poll. It's a big job, obviously, but it's a big job getting the aldermen and alderwomen to pay attention to you and to listen to you as mayor. So her toughness would be tested right out of the gate.
And then the other thing, too, it's been this won't be our first mayor, as everybody who lives here knows, Mayor Byrne. And so we're going to have to learn to say Madam Mayor,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, it's kind of a simple thing. But if you see the new mayor on the street, it'll be Madam Mayor.
Well, and both of them have been guests on this show, and I'm sure they're going to. Well, by the way, I think the governor's coming in.
Oh, that's
awesome. Both of them be guests on this show, and will be guests on this show. So I'll just be mumbling in the corner, Madam Mayor, because I don't want to offend anybody. You know me.
Because what do we say to Mayor Emanuel?
Just Mayor,
Mr.
Just Mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
I didn't know that. That's
title.
What we said. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, locally, we all have our own little elections. You know, I know we have a park district board election in my little town.
Yeah, we got city council stuff.
And if there's extra money, they're going to build a park closer to our house. So.
Yeah, this is one of those off years or off elections, obviously, because it's in April. And this fall is an off year election because it's just prior to the big one in 2020. But that doesn't mean you take the year off. You know, I mean, everything that goes on in the city of Chicago is affected by the mayor of Chicago. Duh. Mm-hmm. So go vote. If you have a vote in the city, go vote. Speaking of politicians, you remember Rick Riley wrote for Sports Illustrated for all those years?
Sure.
I was just talking to you about this in Arizona. What
yes.
happened to Rick Riley?
Because
mm-hmm. he was the guy. And then he went on ESPN and kind of blew up his career.
I believe your question was, what was the name of that guy?
I didn't remember his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rick Riley's written a new book called The Commander and Cheat, How Golf Explains Donald Trump. Riley says, the idea that Trump is a 2.8 handicap is ridiculous. I would second that. And in the book, it talks about how much he cheats on the golf course. I think that the Trump golf thing has been way overblown. Yes, he's a hypocrite because he ripped Obama about how much golf Obama played. And he's been playing way more golf than anybody going all the way back to Eisenhower. But, you know, the president's got to do something. I have no problem with him going out and playing golf. Go play golf. He's less dangerous on the golf course than he is in the White House. And, you know, he has used it as a social thing and also a business thing. And it's just fine. I think we need to get off his golf back. But is it a surprise that, say, something like this happened? On one hole, Trump dunked a shot into a lake. But as his opponents weren't looking, he just dropped another ball and hit that into the water, too. So he drives up and he drops where he should have dropped the first time and hits it on the green and never counts any of the penalty strokes. Now, there's the thing with Bill Clinton. I had a Secret Service guy tell me this, that the younger Secret Service guys on the presidential detail when Clinton would golf, two would be asked to go into the woods on the left on a tree-lined hole. Two would be asked to go in the woods on the right. And if Clinton hit a ball into the woods, their job was to pick the ball up and throw it out into the fairway.
Mm-hmm. You know, like hit a tree.
Careened off a tree.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. If you play any golf at all, you know when people are cheating. And golf is a real reflection on your integrity and honesty. But this book by Riley is out if you care to read it. Mike Tirico from NBC recalling a round he played with Trump said he once hit a shot, couldn't see where it landed, but knew it was close to the hole when he got up to the green. Tirico found his ball in a nearby bunker. But Tirico claims Trump's caddy said the ball hadn't actually landed in the sand trap. Trump's caddy came up to me and said, you know that shot you hit on the par five? It was about 10 feet from the hole. Trump threw it in the bunker. I watched him do it. So, in other words, Trump got to the green first. When Tirico wasn't looking, picked up his ball and threw it in the bunker.
I got to learn to do that.
These are some tips, I think,
yeah,
is what we're learning.
Sounds good.
Well, it's a great way to get punched in the face by friends, yes.
You wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do that. As a matter of fact, no. Anyway, the book, again, is called If You Care. It's mostly a laugh. I'm not looking to Rick Riley for, you know, stuff like political views, but Commander in Cheat, How Golf Explains Trump, it's out. And, you know, we could have Riley on. Why don't you call Riley? My first question is going to be, what's your name again?
Yeah.
Play that funky music, white boy. You know, this is it. This is Wild Cherry. You know what I did there? I just stepped on it. Just a little.
It's, you couldn't tell.
I just towed it just a little bit. Just a big toe.
Yes, no.
A couple of texters. 219, do you know how big of an idiot you sound right now? Well, 219, you texted at 720. At 720, we were playing commercials. So I'm not sure what idiot I was sounding like. If you are a Trump fan and you think I'm picking on Trump, well, have you heard the show? 260 texter. John, there's a whole group of people who say there's golfers who make up their own set of rules because they say I'm out here to have fun. So maybe Trump's a real golfer, or not a real golfer, just a fun golfer.
Who's John?
I'm not sure who John is. I think maybe the listener thought my name was John. No, Trump believes he's a real golfer and talks about it with pride. Actually, I think he was a pretty good player.
Didn't you play with him once?
I did. Yeah.
How was he then?
Obnoxious as hell. Yeah. He had a couple of good drives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talked nonstop. And, yeah, wasn't my favorite guy. And that was long before he was president.
Well, thank goodness we have the MVPP on the phone.
Wouldn't it be great if I went to it right now?
Yeah. We have a mom and a son.
It'd be great if I go to it right now.
Kristen and Cam.
Let's see if there's anything else I should throw on here before.
No, we got a 12-year-old hockey player and his mom. And if you can believe it, roller skating in their town was not legal.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they changed the law, and it took 2 years, which is really appropriate on a day where we're voting because it shows you how people can make a difference locally, you know?
Kristen Umla and your son, Cam Noyes, right, Kristen?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. Cam, how are you?
Great, thanks. How about you?
Doing great. Thanks for being on. What do you mean you can't roller skate in New Hampshire? What kind of town do you guys live in?
So we decided to rollerblade to school one day in the summer, like first couple of days of school. And the police officer doing the crossing guard told us it was illegal. So we decided to make a difference in our town.
And Kristen, when Cam said, we got to do this, I'm sure you were very proud.
I was super proud. I had no idea what to do. And Google came to the rescue on how to affect change in our local town. And that's the beginning of the story.
So inline skating is a big deal when you're learning how to play hockey or in the summertime if you want to play. And obviously, you don't have ice at the ready. So you technically, following the law, you weren't even supposed to do that, I guess, right?
That's right. Right. Yeah. Roller skating, inline skating was all prohibited under a town ordinance, which we learned, as Cam described, on the way to school one day. We were going to rollerblade to school every day, which was our idea before the snow hit. And as it turns out, 2 years it took in the making to finally legalize it. And now we can rollerblade to school.
How do you change a law, Cam? Because obviously you learned in the process. So educate the rest of us. What'd you have to do?
So we went to a Board of Selectmen meeting our first time that we tried to legalize it, and we just wanted to, like, see how the process was. So we pitched our case, and they said, come back with 25 signatures, and then, like, basically we can talk. So me and my little brother went around town, this is a couple months later, and we knocked on doors. And they're like, we got two reactions. One was, it's illegal to rollerblade. And the other one was, of course I'll sign. A lot of people in the town didn't realize that rollerblading was illegal.
What a good thing to do. And if you came to my house, I'd sign it twice. all right, so...
Yeah, so what Cam was, sorry,
go ahead, Mom.
I'm sorry, that was... So what Cam was describing was we drafted a petition warrant article
for the townsfolk to sign. And so they gained over 30 signatures, which allowed us to bring that back to the town to try to earn the endorsement of the selectmen before it hit the ballot this past March.
You know, the interesting thing, too, is that it only took 25 signatures. Our petition level, are there different numbers of signatures to change any law? Or are you and Cam going to start changing every law in New Hampshire now?
25 is the standard, as we understand it. There may be different criteria for those warrant articles that affect a budget or require monetary decisions. But the 25 signatures was the minimum for our town, and we wanted to just get a few extra to make sure that there were no hiccups in, like, authenticating the actual signature, making sure that they were all registered voters within our town. So I think that was the baseline.
So if I'm doing the math correctly, Cam, you were 10 when you started on this journey, correct?
Correct.
Did you have any idea it would take until you were 12 to get it passed?
No, when I first started, I really didn't have much of an idea of what it took to change an ordinance in this town. I actually did a school project in my social studies class on changing a law. They said, what would one thing in this town be that you could change? And I chose rollerblading. So me and my partner did a whole project on it. When I got home one day, me and my mom went over facts together.
Oh, pretty cool.
So I know when people voted, it was approved 1,139 were in favor, 465 against. I wonder why. What would people be voting against it for? What's the reason?
Maybe they could think they don't want the town to have be responsible if something unspeakable happens.
Sure, there you go.
Lawsuits. Yeah.
Well, one of the things too that Cam heard from one of the people on the board, Cam was asked, "Well, what if you hit a pothole? You get a rock caught in a wheel." And and what did you say to that?
I said, "Well, you're mostly on one foot at any given time. So if you hit a pothole or if a rock gets caught in your blade or the wheels, you can simply just switch to the other foot."
And what else? Pothole? The potholes are where, Cam?
In the middle of the road.
They're in the middle of the road. You're on the sidewalk.
Exactly.
I'm very impressed. Does this fire you up for politics, Cam? Maybe you should be president.
Yeah, my grandfather, we were actually talking about that. He said to me, "You should maybe become a politician someday."
Oh. Well, you know what? We need great new young minds in this crazy business of politics, and you sound like one of them. Mom, you should be very proud. I know you are, and what a cool thing for you and your son to do together.
Sure am. Thank you guys so much.
All right. You guys are the most valuable people on the planet. You know what we need to do?
High five, buddy.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Michael, send this lovely family some good Chicago pizza instead of the cardboard they're probably eating in New Hampshire.
We need some deep dish up here.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, hold the line if you would, please. New Hampshire is beautiful. You ever been to New Hampshire?
Oh, my God, it's gorgeous.
It's great.
It was kind of like a Footloose episode, wasn't it?
It was, right?
Yeah. The whole story just reminded me of Footloose. There's a movie for you.
Except Kevin Bacon's mom didn't help.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Dave?
Mount Washington. If you ever have a chance, go to the top of Mount Washington, which I'm trying to remember what town it's in. But
isn't that where they clock the wind at 500 miles an hour or something up there?
Yeah, I mean, I went there and it was 70 degrees at the base, and you can drive, but it's like a one lane winding gravel road when you get near the top, and if
you're texting, you're going to drive off the road.
Well, you're going to be in some trouble. And it got to the top. And it was 70 degrees down to the bottom. It was 30 degrees, and it's a really strong wind.
Sergeant's Purchase, Coos County, New Hampshire, U.S. is where the Mount Washington is.
Sergeant's Purchase, that's the name?
I guess so.
Okay.
That's the...
Okay. Well, Mount Washington is a legendary part of a very beautiful state. Vermont's beautiful, too.
Yeah, I love Vermont.
I don't know why Bernie's yelling all the time. He's from Vermont. 7:34, we'll come back with the headlines in just a second at 720 WGN.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
There is nobody better than Peter Greenberg. A man whose home is row 2CA. He has been on more airplanes than you've ever seen or ever considered in your life. He flies the world over. He brings people together. And he tells people how to get from here to there. It's my pal, Peter Greenberg. Good morning, Peter.
I love that introduction. Did I write that?
No, I wrote it in my head just now. How are you?
I am very good, sir.
All right, so give me a little bit of an update on this this Air Max story. How bad is this junking up the airlines, and did it have anything to do with the IT problem we had this week just yesterday?
Had nothing to do with the IT problem at all. It was a separate issue, which we can talk about. But the actual 737 MAX investigation is continuing on about five different fronts. Obviously, internal at Boeing, internal at the airlines, and of course, you've got the Department of Justice, the Department of Transportation, and Congress, all looking into what I happen to think is a longstanding problem in the relationship between Boeing, the manufacturer, the airlines, and of course, the real problem here, the FAA.
The FAA, more of a political organization than a functional safety organization?
Well, it's got an internal conflict, and the internal conflict goes back to when it was established by an act of Congress back in 1935, and it gave the agency essentially a schizophrenic mandate, which they couldn't ever do. Part one was they had to enact and enforce safety regulation and policy, fair enough. But part two, and this is where it gets a problem, they were supposed to always promote the business of aviation. You cannot do both. It's impossible. It's internally conflicted. And as you look at it historically, every time that the FAA was confronted with either overwhelming evidence about a safety regulation or a safety recommendation, they tended to either slow walk it or side on the economic impact on the manufacturer or the operator. This is not exactly always acting in our best interest.
So what's the timeline like? I mean, is this going to be back online, this fleet, anytime soon?
No, this now it's going to be longer, and because the focus is so much on this relationship that the certification process of whatever solution Boeing is going to prepare, and I'm sure they're going to have one, is going to be certified like by the book for a change. And not only that, you've lost a lot of trust here with the FAA and also with the manufacturer. And so some countries have already gone public and saying, let's assume the solution's a good one and it's provided. We're not going to wait for the FAA to certify it. We're going to certify it ourselves because we want to make sure. And that was Canada, by the way, made that announcement.
Yeah, not exactly on the other side of the world.
No.
All right, so the Air Max problem is an economic problem for the airlines to an extent that we're going to get whacked with price hikes or not so much?
Depends on the airline. If you're looking at an airline that has got many of them, like Norwegian Air Shuttle, or more airlines overseas have these planes than have them in the U.S. right now. If you add up the number of planes, the 737 MAX 800s, that are actually operated by United, by American, and Southwest, it's only about 100, many more than those overseas. But what you'll see are the airlines seeking compensation directly from Boeing for lost revenue. You'll also see airlines, it's already started to happen, either canceling orders for additional planes or trying to convert the additional orders into an order for a different kind of plane. So the economic impact here is going to be longstanding and pretty severe.
It's got a huge problem for Boeing. How does the company not have this just crush it?
Well, first of all, they're the largest exporter in the United States. They're the biggest canary on the tree, and they're a big military contractor as well. You know, we used to have Lockheed, we used to have McDonnell Douglas, and we had Boeing. Now we just have Boeing. And look, are they going to be hurt by this? You bet. Are they going to survive? You bet. The real question is, how are they going to survive in a way that changes this relationship with the FAA and allows the FAA to do what they're supposed to do? I'm going to give you a situation here, Steve, that's even worse. First of all, I'll start with some good news. We've just basically celebrated, if you will, the 11 safest years in the history of commercial aviation since aviation began. That's great. We've only had one fatal accident in the last 10 years.
Right.
And that was Colgan Air back in Buffalo back in February of 2009. That's it. Only one crash in the United States. That is absolutely amazing, wonderful. I can't say enough wonderful things about it with one comma. And the comma is this. We may not be able to improve that statistic, but how do we maintain it? And we don't maintain it if we have this kind of relationship. And it really gets down to maintenance. The FAA doesn't have enough inspectors. They don't have enough resources or budget to proper oversight this situation. More and more airlines are outsourcing their maintenance to MROs, that stands for Maintenance Repair Organization, and many of them are overseas. Now, I've seen those operations. They do a great job. They really do. But who's inspecting the work? Here's the crazy part. If you're an FAA inspector and you want to go inspect an MRO overseas, first you've got to get permission from your superior, and there's got to be budget for you to go. And now, fasten your seatbelt, if you do get permission, you actually have to give the MRO a 7-day notice that you're coming. Now, well, that's then, like the health department telling the restaurant.
Yes. You got a week to clean
like
it up.
Telling the restaurant, right. It gets worse. Once the inspector gets there, they usually don't have enough budget or time to do any kind of inspection work other than look at the books, which means anybody can take off a box. They're not looking at the work. They're looking at the paperwork. There's something wrong here.
Yeah, you can't self-police. It'd be nice if everybody in the world was honest, but people don't call penalties on themselves, especially when there's large amounts of money involved. All right, good news. Peter's coming to town. He's going to tell you what in just a second, because they're going to come in studio. Who could they be? Well, the last time he did this, he brought in the president of Ecuador. You never know who's hanging out with Peter Greenberg. More on that in just a second. PeterGreenberg.com is the website.
Hawk-a-riddle, yeah, come on. Get your Blackhawk tickets, yeah.
More with Peter Greenberg in just a second. First, here's the riddle. This restaurant opened up in 1892 to serve El Construction and what the World's Fair drew. A celebrity stopped for 16 stools and booths, total 7. A everyday Woodlawn visit to heaven. My rhythm was a little off there, wasn't it?
Was that a haiku?
No, it was a hi, I'm an idiot. The restaurant opened up in 1892 to serve El Construction and what the World's Fair drew. A celebrity stopped for 16 tools and booth total 7.
Stools.
What did I say? Tools?
Tools.
Well, you don't know. They could have been tools.
They're stools.
Well, the people that come in there, they could have been tools. We don't know who was coming to the restaurant.
Yeah.
Hey, what a tool that guy is. A celebrity stopped for 16 stools and booth total 7. An everyday Woodlawn visit to heaven. Okay, what is it? That's the point. What is it? Name what that place is. Do you know?
I don't.
It's a tough one.
I have the answer.
It's the last Hawker Riddle of the season, in all likelihood.
Pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the Dallas Stars this Friday, April 5th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online. FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And listen to Ro and Anna today, and they're going to give away a second pair at 4:40.
Next time Peter Greenberg's on, we want to have just all the generic listener questions on travel that we can ask collected. So where do you want people to send them?
They can send them to, if you go to the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page, you could go there, or you can send them to me, M. Sandberg, at WGN Radio. And Peter, you know what? I do have a question for Peter.
Go ahead.
Is he on? Oh, I'm sorry. Peter, we were my husband and I went to Palm Springs in mid-March, and we were on those planes, but they got grounded the day before we left.
The Air Max.
Yeah, and then they got, grounded on the way back, so we had to take other airlines, and I'm still working on getting the credits for the upgrades that I had paid for the original flights. How long should I expect before? Every time I've tried to call American, they're like, wait times are very long because people are still trying to sort out their flights that are canceled.
Well, if you're just waiting for those credits to be redeposited, I'd say you're going to probably wait another month.
Oh, okay. That's long to me. Isn't that
actually
long?
In airline time? Peter, correct me if I'm wrong. In airline time, a month is speedy.
Oh, okay. All right.
For that kind of paperwork, that's about right. Yeah.
I got a question for you. Every time you're on a flight, American or United now, the flight attendants are pitching credit cards.
Oh, I know.
And I mean pitching them hard.
They are.
And the flight attendants on American were going, we'll give you 60,000 miles. We'll give you this and that. And you can transfer them to your dopey uncle. You can do anything. We just need credit for this because they're leaning on us. Good idea or bad?
Well, the last time I looked, flight attendants were there for your safety, not for your credit line. and a number of the flight attendants that I've talked to are sort of angry about it, because even though they get sort of a commission They get commissioned on this because if you look at the actual application they're handing out in the aisles, each application that you fill in has a code on it, and that code goes back to them. So they get a little bit of money for it, but I think it's a little bit insulting using the airplane environment to try to sell stuff. I mean, it's bad enough as it is. So that's my response.
The lead flight attendant actually apologized on our flight, said, "For you frequent flyers, I'm sorry about this, but we're mentioning it because it's what we need to do right now." And, you know, she was just short of saying, "Look, this sucks for me, too."
Well, there you have it. You know, they're in a situation where if you hear a big bell ringing behind me, it's because I'm in Seville, Spain, and it's 3 o'clock here.
Oh, fantastic. And by the way, Seville, Spain reminds me of International Peter Greenberg. Who are you bringing in next time you're in town?
Well, as you know, Steve, for the last 18 years, hard to believe, I do a special series for PBS called The Royal Tour.
Yep.
And what that is I go to individual heads of state, kings, presidents, prime ministers, and I get them to give me the improbable of 6 days of their schedule completely unencumbered. And then for the next 6 days, that king, president, or prime minister is literally my personal tour guide to the country for a one-hour special told through his or her eyes. And as you mentioned earlier, the last time we came in was with the president of Ecuador when we did the royal tour of Ecuador. This time, something near and dear to so many people in Chicago, we were doing the royal tour of Poland.
How about that?
With the prime minister. Yeah. So he'll be with me. Mateusz Morawiecki will be with me in studio with you on the 16th of April.
That'll be fantastic. I look forward to seeing you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon in Spain. Try the sangria.
What a lucky guess.
Yeah, I was really pulling for one. Thank you, Peter.
You got to see.
It's Peter Greenberg from petergreenberg.com. He is the travel genius. He's a guru. Donna from where, Super Joe?
LaSalle.
Donna from LaSalle just won the Hawks tickets. And the restaurant opened up in 1892 to serve El Construction and what the World's Fair drew, blah, blah, blah. The Daily Restaurant.
That's right.
The Daily Restaurant.
And thank you to Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing for the year-long partnership
no
of
kidding.
Giving away
They're
their
amazing.
Tickets. That's pretty cool for our listeners.
So tickets for the Blackhawks and the Stars Friday night. And for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Ro and Anna have more today?
They do at 4:40, so be listening.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next with Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
Live from Channel 9, good morning, morons.
Steve, good morning, fellow morons all across this great land of ours. Good morning to you.
We need some moron memorabilia.
Good moroning to you.
Like a dunce cap or an I'm a stupid t-shirt? too over the top, you think?
I like, with stupid.
And I'm with stupid, and there's an arrow, but it points in both directions, and it's pictures of you and me.
Right. Of course.
Pretty strong. It's pretty strong.
I like to open up the entire moron community, though. I like to see this become a worldwide cult, if possible.
You're all about moron diversity. You've always been.
I'd like to have sort of like a moron hands across America.
Yeah, and instead of hands, we'd use our feet because we don't understand the
different
concept.
Different body parts.
Sure. I get it. I totally get it.
Choose your body part that you want to connect with your fellow morons.
You know, I was just talking to Todd Manley, who runs this joint along with Paul Rennie, who shares the duties of running your place at TV. And
I was wondering what his name was.
I'm pitching Todd on starting the show around 8, because I think we start too early. You know, I think 8 to 10 is plenty of me. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, people are very nice, and the ratings are good, and all
that. Maybe too much. 8 to 10, maybe too much.
What? Maybe 8 to 8:30.
Just more on entertainment every day.
Well, plus another break.
Yeah, have a really long business show. Steve could do a really long business show starting at 5.
Five to eight. The one thing about you starting at 8, Steve, that'll be the problem is the traffic to come in for an 8 a.m. start would be a nightmare.
So you're concerned about me making it here by 8?
Well, not make. I'm just, you're going to have to add 45
minutes. No, I'm saying
minutes.
You should be concerned about me making it here by 8.
And traffic hits its peak at 7:45.
Well, anyone who knows Steve knows that we will tell him that the show starts at 7:30.
Yeah. If he starts the show at 8, he could come down early and work out first and then be ready for the show.
That's a good point.
That's a good call.
I was in the office when you pitched this idea to our boss.
Yeah.
I somehow sensed that the reaction was sort of lukewarm at
best. Oh, you
best.
Thought so?
Yeah.
You got sarcasm from that?
Yeah.
8 o'clock would be convenient for me because that's right around the time that I actually start listening to the show.
Oh, well, there you go.
What do you hear in the first 2 hours?
I keep the speaker down. You know.
It's like when Snoopy talks.
It's just one of those days, you know, where I haven't woken up yet. And I've been up for 4 hours. I just haven't woken up yet.
Have you had your coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Have you had your whiskey?
I'll tell you what he had. He had a sausage McMuffin that he didn't bring one in for me.
Right. And I had a Diet Coke.
Well, that should be your caffeine starter.
He probably needs water.
But see, I don't normally have the McMuffin. But when I'm tired, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to have breakfast.
Yeah.
We'll see if I can wake up, not just a shot of Diet Coke.
You don't usually eat the breakfast.
I feel like it bogged me down even more.
Dean, I really love the sausage McMuffin from McDonald's, but I don't let myself get it. But I think about it and talk about it a lot because I drive past one every morning. And
very high calories.
It's salty and delicious. But every morning I pass the McDonald's on Ohio, and I have to tell myself, do not get that thing.
How about the delicious egg white delight?
Yeah, but it kind of just wets my palate for wanting the sausage McMuffin with eggs.
I was in a band called Egg White Delight. So, Dean, you have to understand, she doesn't eat it. She thinks about eating it.
Yeah. When the news came out.
I don't know how that works. I don't know how that helps.
A couple of years ago when the news came out that they were going to be released 24/7, you could get your hands on one. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, somebody hold me back because now they're available at all times and I might eat only sausage McMuffin.
I might be thinking about them all day now.
I know. I do think about them. Like, when can I squeeze one in?
I remember, that's probably a week ago, I was thinking about pizza and I actually had pizza.
I know. There's a lot of people that understand. Wendy Snyder, who is on with Phil and Wendy, she understands completely thinking about eating stuff that you shouldn't be eating, so you don't eat it, but you think about it a lot.
It would just be frustrating.
I know. It's very frustrating. That's why when I hear about people having one, I want to hear about every piece of enjoyment from having it, because then I can live vicariously through you.
I used to eat anything I'd wanted to. And then I realized, well, that's going to kill you. So, you know, when I lost weight, I stopped eating everything I wanted. But I don't think about eating something and then not eat it. Because you know what that is? That's like, Dean, you know, when you go out to this is a gender split. You go out to dinner, and there are some guys that do this too, but it's more of a female trait. After the meal, you go, oh, I should not have done that. You can't regret it after you've eaten it. After you've eaten it, just enjoy it. Enjoy the experience.
Or just run it off.
Saying that women say that?
More than men, I think.
More than men. Because what men do is just take their pants off.
Yeah. Yeah, and why not?
Women have the good sense to.
They unbutton the top button.
Not unbuckle stuff.
So gross.
Oh, unbutton your skirt. Live a little.
Dean, I like thinking of Dean. Can't unzip it. It'll fall off. Put these pants off.
Right. That's why I wear elastic pants all the time.
Well, your zippers are on the wrong side with those skirts anyway.
I'd eat whatever I want.
All right, so Mick Jagger. We know why Mick Jagger canceled the situation.
Speaking of, now here, Steve, this may make your whole point. Look at Mick Jagger. Mm-hmm. Seems to be very healthy. Well, until we learned about this. You know, skinny guy, very active, 75 years old.
Running around stage like a teenager.
Could outdo any of us. 75 years old. Seemed, you know, physically looking like in the best of health. He's having a heart valve replacement.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
Maybe it's genetic.
It's possible, but you know what?
If it's genetic, why is it kicking in now? He's 75.
These kinds of surgery, I have been told, are fairly common. My mother, as you may recall, 2 years ago when she was 94, my mother had heart valve replacement surgery. And I said, seriously, you're going to do heart surgery on a 94-year-old? And she said, the doctor said, we do surgery like this on 90-year-olds all the time. And my mom's doing great, better than ever from that.
Yeah, and more energy and all that other stuff, right?
She's got a cow valve in her now.
Yeah.
You know.
She ever chase cars? What? Why would you chase cars? That's a ridiculous statement to make.
She does go out in the backyard and eat the grass now.
Yeah. Right.
We're saving a fortune on mowing the lawn.
Right. Random mooing during family events.
That's a little weird at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, can imagine.
My grandma had gotten a pig valve, and I could not stop thinking, like, it was weird to think that they can do that.
Yeah.
That it works that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. And
I think the whole thing was started by Orion. I think Orion's getting kickbacks on all of those pigs.
So that's what's going to happen with Mick on Friday at a hospital in New York. They're going to replace a valve in his heart. I've not heard which of the valves. I've become a little bit of an expert on this since my mom's had this done. But it's the surgery is, you know, it's not invasive. They don't open you up, at least, you know, for my mom, they didn't.
Did they ask your mom when she could tour again?
she was up and walking around the next day.
Okay, so he may be on the road by the summer.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know if, she, you know, he's going to, you know, my mom has never done Start Me Up and 19th Nervous Breakdown for anyone that I know of.
That's what Mick will be singing on the operating table.
Start Me Up.
Yeah. Ironically, my mom has done Tumbling Dice because she's a numbers runner for the mob.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. We continue to be amazed that Keith Richards was not the one on death's door. How is that even possible? Wasn't Keith Richards caught in a tree a few years ago? Didn't he get stuck in a tree?
What are you talking about?
He was stuck in a tree. Am I making that up? No. I'm not making that up.
Keith Richards in a tree. Hang on, I'm Googling.
Yeah, but if you Google Keith Richards in a tree, you'll get a story about Keith Richards in a tree.
In a coconut tree.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we come back.
He fell out of a coconut tree.
He fell out of a tree!
I just looked it up and it said, band Steve Cochran fronted in 1983.
Keith Richards in a tree?
Yeah.
It's 8:23. More with Dean in a moment.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 720.
Dean just got a text. My wife's a heart nurse at Edwards Hospital. In the structural heart hospital, she's sure to have a TAVR procedure.
That's what my mom had.
Which is non-invasive. Says Mick will be able to resume normal activities when he comes home, which is a day.
It's pretty fast.
I can't get no palpitations.
But even if you, like, recovered for regular daily activity, performing on stage is a whole nother level for your body, right?
Yeah. Especially when you dance like you're in some sort of, you know, fit that you can't control your movements.
Maybe he can start doing the Elton John chair thing, you know, kind of like sit out there in a chair.
That would change the Maroon 5 song, right? I got the moves like Jagger. You're just sitting on a stool.
Unless he does his regular moves, but with a walker.
Oh, there you go.
Did they catch the guy that killed Nipsey Hussle?
They're looking for him right now. They think they know who it is. They've put out photographs of a 29-year-old guy whose name is Eric Holder for the shooting of the Grammy-nominated rapper in front of his clothing store. They were having a vigil. Hundreds and hundreds of people were in front of the store last night when something happened. They believe, police say that a stabbing took place that led to a stampede. 19 people were injured during this vigil last night. But people are very moved by all of this because Nipsey Hussle, aside from being a Grammy-nominated artist, is best known also as an entrepreneur and a real estate mogul, creating empowerment of his own community, many give backs to the community.
And he was doing a good job, right?
Very, very good job of doing that. He was supposed to have participated in a summit meeting that was going to take place yesterday to stop gang violence, ironically enough. Of course, that was postponed, but it is going to be rescheduled in Nipsey Hussle's honor.
So, I mean, he sort of I don't know his act or the work he's done, but everything I've seen the past couple of days, he sort of sounds like a Chance the Rapper of L.A.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, even, you know, not to take away anything that Chance does, because he's extremely charitable, but he was, you know, he was at one time in the Crips. He at one time was a gang member, and he's talked about this himself in interviews, where he came from that to becoming successful and putting money back into the community and trying to, you know, help others to, you know, get a hand up as he got to become something successful. So, I mean, that's what he was all about in addition to his music.
Speaking of rappers and people that have, you know, found a different way, 50 Cent, who is famous for being shot 9 times and, you know, a gang member himself and a whole heap of trouble,
had several hits. He's had a lot of success in life. And what did he do?
Also a huge entrepreneur. Very, very successful businessman, producer, also involved in a lot of different things. He had a mansion that he just recently sold for $3 million, and he donated the entire proceeds of the sale of the mansion to his foundation, the G-Unity Foundation for Low-Income and Underserved Communities. So, you
know, very generous.
Could have easily, he bought this house, interestingly, for $18 million, sold it for $3 million, so he took a pretty big loss on this, but also donated the $3 million to charity. Steve, this was a 21-bedroom home. Wow. With a helicopter
pad. Did you do that real estate deal?
I did not get the listing for that. Yeah, I'm a little upset about that.
I don't blame you. Tyler Perry, on the other side of the celebrity coin here, was in Minneapolis, and he got very upset. Why is he upset?
Well, I had to look this up this morning of how much Tyler Perry is worth. He could buy and sell just about every single person listening at this
What
moment.
Is he worth? I don't even know.
He's worth $600 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's his total worth.
Man, so, my Madea thing worked out all right.
It worked out okay. Turns out, as Steve has found out, wearing a dress and a wig can be very lucrative.
I've never monetized it. There, I mean, I do it just because I want to feel pretty.
See, there was your problem.
Yeah.
So he checks into a hotel. He's in Minneapolis promoting his new Madea movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a hotel, and as you know, a lot of us have seen in hotels, you see the mini bar. You just did this, didn't you, in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Saw the mini bar. You saw the stuff that's like ridiculously priced.
I took it out of Dave's mini bar. So yeah, be on his
yeah.
Bar.
Thanks, Dean, for reminding me right. How much I owed that hotel.
Yeah.
Thanks to Steve's visit.
Yeah. So Tyler Perry sees a water bottle on the counter with a price tag on it of $9 for a bottle of water. $9.
It's a lot.
He goes on Instagram. He takes a picture of the bottle of water, goes on Instagram, and says, I saw this and got mad as hell. What does this water do? Cure cancer? Make hair grow? Did Jesus bottle this water with the woman that he met at the well? You got to be kidding me.
I don't know why it made him mad. Just don't buy it. Don't stay at the hotel again.
He's,
I mean, you know.
Thirsty.
I think he was mad about something other than the water.
Yeah, and that was the tipping point.
Can you imagine, Dean, our fathers, though, if they knew we spent $9 on a bottle of water?
Oh, my gosh.
My father from heaven would be, because I assume that's where he is, would be going, what are you, stupid?
Right.
What are you, stupid? Well, yeah, I'm thirsty, more than stupid. And finally,
I can't tell you some of the things that my father said, because they're not really appropriate.
Yeah, they couldn't be on WGN.
They couldn't be appropriate. But my mom has said many times when I say that, you know, I went to dinner here or I went to dinner there, how much did that cost?
Right.
She asks you, oh, you know how much food I could have made for that money?
Right.
Like, well, you should have been in the kitchen. You would have made a fortune.
Or my father, when I said I was in the, you know, this dome or that dome stadium, and he goes, what's it cost to heat that place? What? the Queen musical is coming to town?
It is called We Will Rock You. You know, everyone's got the Queen fever right now. Because of the Bohemian Rhapsody movie that got 4 Academy Awards. So they're bringing back this We Will Rock You musical. It's not about Queen or Freddie Mercury. It's like the ABBA musical or the Billy Joel musical or Elvis musical, where they take all the songs from a particular artist and they weave a storyline through them.
I was just giving you some background.
Yeah. That's pretty much the whole show. It's like 2 hours of that.
Yeah, just... It's really much more effective if, say, 30,000 other people are doing it.
Come on, everybody, clap along. Anyway, so the you know, since everyone's got the Queen fever right now, they're bringing back We Will Rock You in a North American tour, and it will be at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet. Sadly, only one night, September 17th, but tickets are available.
It's a big production to bring in for one night.
That is a huge show to bring in for one night.
Bizarre.
I'm surprised it's not here for, you know, at least a week or weekend.
Helpful Texter says, I could buy 3 cases, 120 bottles of water at Costco for $9.
Yeah, that's right.
And my father would still go, what are you, stupid?
This is the Fiji water, though.
Oh.
$9 a bottle of water was...
Well, the square bottle, that's how they
Fiji water that comes from, well, I don't know where
Fiji, Ohio.
I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
It's the water that Paul Conrad drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's blame him then.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
That's the other moron, and we'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Cochran Show.
It's 8:46. Two of my favorite people are here, Mark Doyle and Kip Doyle. Famous for helping homeless vets.
for beer. And now for a cool tech thing we'll tell you about in just a second.
They're also one of your successful couples. You married them, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, 10 for 11.
So,
well,
so
I mean,
far,
I think you're successful. You guys still together?
We are still together.
You're still together, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Are we at 2 years yet?
Do you still find him adorable?
I do.
Yeah.
2 years, 3 years? What are we at?
Your wife's way too hot for you, dude.
Believe me, I hear it every day, several times a day.
Hang on, Mark. Have you been married 2 years?
2 years.
2 years.
Two
okay.
beautiful
so,
years.
So far, two.
Seems like just
so far,
2 weeks.
Yeah. Lucky guy. All right. Now, I wanted you to come over because you have known Vice President Biden forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you worked with him in the White House.
Yep.
You worked with him on campaigns.
Lived with him.
You lived with him, and you remain in close contact with
him. I do.
Okay. When this story broke this week that Biden was creepy in the way he would put his hands on women, and there's two women that have come forward. And when it's being, I mean, forget about the fact that it's being put forward by the grab the pee side of the equation.
Yeah.
What have you seen that would lend a creepy Joe Biden?
Not a single thing.
Right?
Not a single thing. I've known this guy for 12 years.
12? You've known him for longer than that. You worked for him in the 90s.
Okay, 22, 30.
Yeah,
you know, when
yeah,
you get
right.
to be my age, right. the years just
do
fly
by. Do I need to
by.
Do the math for you? What are you, just another pretty blonde, aren't you?
Do you have a calculator?
Yeah.
This guy, everybody in his life he hugs.
Right.
Every politician he sees, man or woman. I've been on literally hundreds of rope lines with him. And not five or ten, hundreds of people say, can I hug you?
Yeah.
We're working a rope line.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah. Ask if they can hug Joe, because
yes.
he's a huggable guy. He hugged me the first time he met me.
You can say you might be able to have differences about policies with him, but being creepy ain't something that you can say
well,
about
Joe. Well,
and
here's the thing that was so frustrating about it, because we live in an era now where common sense and rules don't apply.
Yeah.
You can say anything about anybody, and there'll be a segment of the population that will believe it and spread it around. The woman that brought this up, look, I'm not questioning the woman. If the woman felt her space was violated and she felt badly about it, she's entitled to that. You know, don't have to agree with it, disagree with it, whatever. And the vice, it's a weird time to bring it up, but nonetheless. Yeah, the vice president responded by saying, you know, we have to respect her views. I don't feel like I've done anything wrong in regards to that ever. But then there's another woman who happened to be Ash Carter's wife. And as Ash Carter was being sworn in as defense secretary, she had fallen on the ice on the way into the swearing-in ceremony and was hurt.
And was sick at the same time.
Sick with some sort of flu-ish kind of thing and had fallen and hurt herself. But she wanted to be there for the swearing-in ceremony. They couldn't change the time. She comes in. Biden sees she's struggling. Biden says to her, I gotcha. I gotcha. Puts his hands on her shoulders. That now has turned into something creepy.
Yeah.
She's irate.
Yeah.
She said he was there for me when I needed him. I wasn't put off by it. It was a sweet thing to do. He's everybody's uncle. He's everybody's big brother.
I would say conservatively, 25,000 people he's hugged in his life.
Right.
Just since I've known him.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. In your experience.
And you know, on a personal level, you know, when I was in Afghanistan, this guy called me or texted me every 3 weeks. When we were running for president in Iowa, and I had that cervical disc that was ended up having to be replaced, carried my bag for me every night, checking into the hotel.
Right.
Give me a hug on the way back to my room. Say, Mark, are you feeling all right? He's running for president, carrying my bags.
Well, I've also seen stuff where he's being criticized for the way he treats children, the way he touches children. Listen, I grew up in an era, you might remember the 70s, Mark?
Yeah.
I grew up in an era in the 70s.
Vaguely.
Where if a little kid was crying at school, a teacher could give the little kid a hug. Now teachers have to think twice about it because it could turn into something that they don't want it to be a part of. There's school policies against it and things. You can say he's of a different generation, but I would rather have the generation of somebody that cares about people and wants to make them feel comfortable than somebody who is taking advantage of people.
So, because I got to be married to this amazing woman, I also got four unbelievable children out of the deal, the oldest of whom is Calypso.
Mm-hmm.
Calypso was engaged to a Marine who ended up taking his own life. When Biden heard this, he said, can you get her on the phone, please? He's called her once. Then twice, and then when we went to an event, I took her down with me. She walked in, remembered who she was, said, come over here, kid. Gave her a big hug. She had tears in her eyes. because he was hugging her and showing her affection. That's the guy we're going to call out? That guy.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Not to mention his own experience and his own sadness. And, you know, it seems like we've just forgotten that this man has been through an immense amount. And yeah. he's lost his
first wife and daughter in a car accident. He just lost his son to cancer, what, 3 years ago? Four years ago?
4 years ago.
And in addition to that, you were with me on a winter morning when he had gotten the night before, had gotten a text that his wife, Dr. Jill, on the turnpike outside of Washington, had hit a patch of ice and slid, and the car ends up under a tractor trailer.
Yeah, pinned.
Yeah. Now, she fortunately was fine, but can you imagine how fast 30 years before that, or 40 years before that, came back to him? The guy's been through 10 times what the rest of us have gone through.
And had an aneurysm, and they gave him a 20% chance of living.
Right.
Yep.
So you want to disagree with his policies?
Go ahead.
You want to disagree with where he stands on things? Do it all day.
Yeah.
That's what this is supposed to be all about. We need less far left, far right stuff, but you argue about it all day. But trying to turn this guy into a perv? Give me a break.
Come on.
Stop it.
Stop it is right.
Can you hang around a second?
I shall. And
you
will.
Should ask Kip. She's in charge.
Can we hang around a second?
Jade 53. We'll come back in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kip Doyle's here with her driver, Mark Doyle. And all you kids. Mark, how are things at Rags of Honor?
Things are very, very good. I'm happy to say that Memorial Day weekend, you will be able to buy 4 new items from Rags of Honor at Walmarts around the country. Yay. 21 in Illinois, which we'll put up on the site. Thank you. Maybe at some point we'll put all 21 up on our webpage.
And you guys can link it to us.
So people can go and buy one.
That's a great thing. And, of course, the Blackhawks have always been great.
The best team in all sports.
Well, give me another partner you want to thank. Who else? Look at your wife. She's got the answers.
Del Frisco's on the coffee site. Del Frisco's. Yeah. They've been such a great partner with the Hyatt Hotels. The Hyatt Hotels.
Talk about the coffee.
you can see the look on Kip's face. Yep. They're like, come on already, Mark.
Let's Hyatt Hotels.
Hyatt has decided that they really want to make a difference, and they have they've asked, you know, Rags to make a t-shirt for everyone to understand the importance of the veteran community. And
great.
then they wanted to talk to us about coffee and the notion of having a cup of Joe in the morning and celebrating, raise a mug to a veteran, knowing that this is something that can...
Your morning toast.
Yeah.
Morning and toast. Not the kind you put butter on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe even an evening toast to sort of bracket your day with our latest round of...
Texture says Rags of Honor at Walmart the best. So you got the coffee.
You got Rags to help all of us making
the high-end t-shirts and stuff. Coffee website?
VeteranRoasters.com.
Rags website?
RagsofHonor.us.
But wait, there's more.
There's
more. It gives new meaning to the word drink responsibly.
Yes.
So you drink your coffee in the morning, you celebrate our veterans. You know, every single cup helps us to hire.
What if I want a beer at night?
Say, what if you want
Funny
a beer?
You should ask.
What?
R&R.
Funny you should ask.
What? How did I step into this?
RNRBrews.com.
RNRBrews.com. Yes. R&R?
R-N-R.
R-N, the letter N.
R&R Brews.
Okay.
Yep.
And
all right.
It's like rest and relaxation.
Exactly.
Rest and recuperation, rest
yep,
and relaxation.
That's right.
Very important.
Wow.
Most yes, she's
sort
good.
Of militarily.
And R&R Beers is made
Brews.
By? Brews is made by?
Well, our brewmaster is Nate Reeves, who's an Army veteran.
Uh-huh.
We partnered for the first run with Haymarket.
Shout out to Haymarket.
Big shout out to Haymarket.
What do they know about beer?
They have a great pretzel there.
They have a great everything there.
Yeah.
Dave, we're talking about beer.
Got it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Pete Crowley is their head brewmaster. And when we pitched him about rolling out the first line for Joe Madden, this is the name of the beer, Try Not to Suck. German lager.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Kip's dear friend Brian Hall did all the work on the label, and we brewed it, canned it, labeled it. It'll be in Jewel's and Binnie's by this weekend.
And coming soon, too, as well. Let's bring it all the way around full circle. Run, Joe, run. Phone case?
Yeah, so on another note, I invented what is the card shark, which is the credit card case incorporated into your...
you did this like 20 years ago or something, didn't you?
Yeah. The Card Shark... skin.com. Anyway, I've Spec is one of my greatest partners in licensing my patents. I have three, and they have put together some cases that one of our veterans just helped us design. So this one says,
you can put a credit card or a credit card or driver's license in the back and
grab and go. It's for grab and go society that we are today. So you got a couple credit cards, you got your fake ID. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, the kids all carry
Joe's fake ID.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, fake ID. A little bit of cash and off you go, and you've got it all in one place. That's why I invented it, because I don't carry purses, and
Well, it's great for women, right? Because you don't want to carry the thing, and you put your ID and your credit card in, and we get
ID'd at the bar. If you have I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they have those sticky credit card things on the back of your phone, the problem, because they all have debit cards now, but they come off
and they rip.
Yeah,
so great way to lose your credit card.
Also, by the way, I mean, everybody's like, geez, so you got everything you got is on your phone. I said, yeah, but who is without their phone? Like, 10, 15 years ago, you used to think, oh my God, I'm going to lose my wallet. But now if you lose your phone, it's over.
Yeah.
So everybody has their phone. I hate to tell you the statistical number of people who text when they're in the restroom. So they never leave it behind. So you've always got it. So why not have all your stuff with you? The problem with those stick-ons...
They fall off?
Well, they fall off. They also reveal an immense amount of information about the individual if you should have your license, because the top half of the...
Sticks out.
So you can see that your 12-year-old daughter's name is, and she lives, you know. So it's too much information. You also are showing if you have a black card or whatever, that this is a good person to rob, right? So my case designed it in a way that...
You cover the card.
You cover the card. You have a finger push out so you can stick the cards behind and you can easy access. And this one just happens to be in support of Joe Biden. So it just says Joe. And we just want to help in any way we can.
That's great.
Proceeds from any sale will go towards helping veterans, because they believe in Joe, too. We all do. And
I think Super Joe on our show would love a case.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at that.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, buddy. And by the way, these Spec cases, I've seen them at Best Buy. I've seen them all over the place, Target. So they're going to be everywhere.
They're the best version of the...
So be looking for those. Well, you guys, as usual, have a lot going on.
Just trying to keep veterans upright.
Yeah, good for you, man. Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
And keep Joe upright.
Yeah. Support Joe. By the way, the ticket, you know, Mayor Pete and Joe. Here's your ticket.
Oh, I agree. Wholeheartedly.
This Mayor Pete kid's really impressive.
Impressive.
Just let me learn a language so I can read that.
How about seven of them? Speak seven languages.
He's so humble.
That's the part where he reminds me of me. I barely speak English. What am I talking about? There's somebody texting, says, I want to share with vets, do what I can. How do I get connected? They left a phone number for you. We got all sorts of text supporting you guys.
Thanks, everybody out there.
All right, so ragsofhonor.us.
Yep, go buy. New T-shirts are up for the spring.
Cupofjoe.com.
VeteranRoasters.com.
Wow. You think after all these years, I'd know. VeteranRoasters.com. And the beer?
RNRBrews.com.
Vets get benefits from all of this, including all the other work that's happening here. And you can always volunteer to help. You can volunteer, write a big check. It all helps.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Have a great day.
There's the Doyles. And we'll come back with your Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Back on the Steve Cochran Show. My friend Anna DeVlantis is here.
Hey,
thanks for
Steve.
Coming over. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me this morning. Good to see everybody.
I got to ask you and Vandeveld and Sandberg a question right now.
Sure.
How creepy am I? I'm just curious. How creepy am I?
Do we get a scale?
We're talking about creepy Joe.
Scale of
10 being creepy Joe, 1 being not creepy at all.
Time for self-introspection about our own actions? Is that what you're trying to?
Do you remember what happened when the Me Too thing broke big?
Yeah.
When the Me Too thing broke big, I called Anna. I called her like at noon one day, and I said, listen, if I've ever, because we've known each other for a long time.
Long time.
And we've been very good friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I've said things that in normal circumstances would be misinterpreted, but you know I'm a jerk.
You're not a jerk.
So I called her and I said, listen, if I've ever, blah, 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 blah. An hour goes by.
Yes, I do remember.
2 hours goes by.
And I had to think about it.
3 hours goes by.
There's a lot of thought. I didn't want to give a pat answer.
Doing a mental check on everything I've ever done or said.
Well, I keep a list. So I was going through it and trying to say, well, it's 2018. That one doesn't hold up as well, but it's still okay.
No,
I was busy. I didn't answer your text right away.
Right, but here I am thinking you're getting a class action lawsuit together with anyone I've ever worked with.
You know he's guilty because he called me and he asked me, did I ever... Was I inappropriate?
Wait, he didn't call me.
Oh, Mary wanted to call.
Yeah.
She'll give you a piece of her mind.
I actually texted Mary.
Yeah.
She's still getting back to me.
I kept a journal.
Yeah. But the point is, look, the woman that brings up this thing about Biden.
Second woman. No.
Well, there's two women. But the original one that brings up the thing about Biden. I'm not criticizing her. I'm not criticizing the second woman. But all these clips and stuff that have shown up online now. Yeah. On the surface, they look a little weird.
Some of them look cringeworthy. I mean, there's a new one out there with this, it looks like a man and his daughter being introduced to Biden. He was introducing his daughter to Biden, and he shakes her hand, and then he takes his fingers and he holds her at her chin like, oh, cute thing. What a cute little, picks up her chin. And then the reaction she gives speaks volumes because she turns away and sort of grimaces. And it's clear it's not welcome. And that's all. I don't think he has any malintent. I don't think it's sexual. I don't think it's controlling. I truly think he's an affectionate guy in politics.
He's a touchy,
and this is how
feely,
he shows it.
Affectionate guy.
But I think he should also be understanding of the reaction to it. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi said that's not disqualifying. This is, he's totally deserves to be in the race. But
and he came forward right away and he said, look, we need to listen to this woman. I don't feel like I've done anything wrong, but I am not judging the woman that brought this up.
Good for him for saying that. Good for him. But Nancy Pelosi said he should join the straight arm club.
What, wouldn't you guys be the straight arm club? Aren't you the stiff arm? You know, like, don't, okay, this is the safe,
but that
as far as my arm could reach.
Where I shouldn't always have to be on us to be the straight arm. Yeah, like, they can, you know, as gentlemen, you can decide to not engage. You know, I'm not an affectionate person. We make that clear about, I don't like to be touched. Mm-hmm. And
including by your husband?
Yeah. Yes. No, I like my husband touching me, but I don't like anyone else touching me. And it always, I get this label of the, I'm the mean, cold, you know, whatever, be. Spell out the rest of it.
You and anybody else ought to be able to decide what your personal space is.
Right, but you got to read as the guy just because you're the super affectionate.
We don't. That's the problem. We don't. I think more guys than ever have learned in the last 6 months. There's been longer than that.
It's been longer, a year and a half.
Yeah, since the Me Too thing broke.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about a behavioral shift with the dumber of the two sexes. That would be us.
Yeah.
I still think that, you know, and it's not fair, but I still think the responsibility comes down, if you're in a situation like that, to a woman either walking out of the room or stopping and saying, look, inappropriate.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, at the risk of pulling more complaints at me now, because you just hit on something. It's a lot has happened in the last 2 years in this country since Joe Biden was running for anything. And the question I have is, you know, how much leeway does he get for this stuff that's happened in the past? Going forward, why don't we judge him on that then going forward?
Yeah.
I mean, if he continues to do it after today and after this week, then there might be a problem.
But I think this is what they're doing, Anna, isn't it? They're like, hey, this is how you were, so don't do that going forward. There's sometimes to not do it going forward. If no one came out and said anything or brought up these videos of these women, he would be out there hugging and touching your chin weirdly.
Yeah, I also think there's a difference between Me Too and the kinds of allegations that fell under that umbrella, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this, you know, you see a lot of prominent names in politics, Meghan McCain, Pelosi. I mean, there's so many of them today coming to his defense and saying,
Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, Republicans and Democrats. Yeah. Like, this is an affectionate guy. He means no harm. This is not his intent. And I know that intent is not all that matters, because he should have some read on the room when it's not exactly taken that way. And then don't repeat it. You know, I just don't. But at the end of the day, the Me Too movement, it was so much more than that. I mean, right? You started outing such big names in business of just serial harassers, and that's a totally different thing. And I hate to confuse the two, because I don't think Biden falls in any way under that other umbrella.
But your
behavior.
Point's well taken, because there's a world difference between Harvey Weinstein and Bill Clinton and Donald Trump and what we're talking about
here.
Huge.
I've heard a lot of people say, too, that one of the things that, is endearing about Joe Biden, my mother is one of them, says this, is that he is touchy-feely, that he likes to hug people, and that he is very hands-on in terms of, like, meeting people and greeting people, and she likes that. She likes
it. Well, Steve, I don't know if you heard when Mark Doyle was in here. Mark's been, you know, with Biden for 25 years or longer. And worked a million rope lines with him. He said people were nonstop. And this became an issue for Secret Service. We didn't get into this on the air. But not just men and women would go, hey, Joe, can I give you a hug? As he's working a rope line. Because the crowd that came out to see him also, you know, knew that he was an approachable guy. So they're asking for hugs.
Yeah, right. So those people are asking, but the ones that aren't, I'm just...
Well, I'm not saying yeah. that, you know, you're right. You should have enough of a self-awareness that if somebody is creeped out by you, you understand they're creeped out by you.
Yeah. And it's,
but we're just getting there. That's all.
That's where, you know, you've said before about, in reference to Me Too stuff, Steve, that guys need to police guys. Some guy needs to be like, hey, Joe, you know what? Not everybody wants to be
exactly.
Hugged. Not everyone wants to.
How
be
much
their
this
face
has to
tickled.
Do that the fact that he would beat Trump head to head in the polls. He would be at top of the pack if he would even announce. He hasn't announced yet. But there's sort of this idea that everyone's got to take a couple shots as they enter into this crowded field of Democratic nominees, and that's just part of the political process. I would separate him from the conversation. I think the conversation's a good one to have. I really don't see any bad intent on Joe. I just think he should just be a little more aware of it. It's all
exactly.
it is.
Yeah, and if you're going to be removed from office or from contention for office because of this, we got to start in the White House. We start in the White House. Okay, so Biden steps down as soon as Trump resigns. Okay, so if you want a level playing field, there's your a leveled playing field.
Yeah.
Texture says, what kid likes to be kissed or pinched by Aunt Sally? No one is pointing fingers at her. Why, Uncle Joe? Politicians also shouldn't kiss babies or press the flesh in this new world we live in. I had a couple of aunts who were the kiss you on the lips aunts. That was always the... I remember, we're talking 50 years ago because I was 5, 6, 7 years old. And I remember thinking, oh God, I got to go hide before they leave or when they first get here.
My mother-in-law is a well-endowed woman, a lovely lady, Gail, and there's an ongoing joke with all the grandkids about when she goes in, they were babies, and then when they're older, for the holding and rocking and hugging, because she did a lot of bouncing and things, and things were...
You get whacked by the boobs?
Yeah, a lot, and like, she's not inappropriately intended or whatever, but all the kids are like, I don't want grandmom to hold me because she's going to bounce me around on her chest, you know, like they were... It was.
I just couldn't do the kiss me on the lips thing. It was just. It gets to a point when you get a little older. You go, oh, why? Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the handshake with little boys? Isn't that the worst? When the Uncle Joe comes over and just goes.
Yep.
The really hard handshake that breaks
rips
your
the
hand
arm
on
off.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep,
I was so happy I wasn't a boy on those days.
Several texters pointing out the same thing that said, "Look, the fact that Biden's doing this in camera in front of the world shows that he's just clueless, not creepy."
Yeah, I think there's something to that.
Another texter says, "I can't stand Mr. Biden's politics, but I don't ever feel his hugs or kisses were inappropriate. Some are demeaning to the other person unintentionally, but they're not lecherous." Is that the nickname you guys have for me behind the scenes, Lecherous Steve? Uh-oh, here comes Lecherous Steve.
No, I wouldn't say lecherous.
Really?
No.
You're more creepy than lecherous?
No,
is that what you're
creepy. Creepy's kind of rough.
Yeah. At any rate, as we continue, Anna DeVlantis is here. Do you know what you guys are doing on the show today? On the
Rogue Con show? Well,
you're
not
giving
really.
Away Hawks tickets at 4:40.
Thank you very much, Mary.
I know that.
That's happening. Yes.
Is there an extensive...
Oh, we have an interview with Emilio Estevez. We're going to be interviewing Emilio Estevez.
Is that the one I'm not
Rhyme
supposed
Fest?
To say you taped a week ago?
That's the one you're not supposed to say anything about it being taped a week ago. But, you know, Emilio's not easy to get. You work with his schedule. And so he's going to be, you'll hear it today.
He's a great guy.
The Public. He's directing it, and he's very proud of it. And it's a very unique movie. So we'll
so you'll have that interview this afternoon. So what I understand about this movie, and Ryan Dowd from Hesed House was touring with Emilio.
Mm-hmm.
Hesed House is this unbelievable homeless shelter in the western burbs in Aurora.
Yeah.
And really innovative and just very impressive. And I've learned a lot from Ryan about homelessness. Having said all that, Emilio Estevez's movie, as I understand it, is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. And there were homeless folks in Cincinnati.
That's right. And he has strong Ohio ties himself, has a house there now, and both parents have some ties growing up to Ohio. So it's important to him, and it's one of the reasons he chose it. But Cincinnati, you're right, is where it's based.
So this homeless family, or not family, but these homeless folks were banned from the local public library, and they did a sit-in.
Mm-hmm. Act of civil disobedience.
Right. And
it was a freezing cold, kind of polar vortex right. type of weather outside, and they needed a place to be.
Right. So they came in, and they weren't disturbing anybody. Mm-mm. They were just clearly homeless folks. So the movie is based on that, and that it sprang up into a national effort of homeless folks around the country to have access to public libraries.
Yeah, and Emilio feels very strongly about the importance of public libraries and talks about how they're gathering places for people of different socioeconomic classes and that they're places to get English as second language opportunities, to learn about more about immigration, to access to computers in households that don't have them.
Sure.
They are places that provide so many resources for a community at a time when they're not necessarily being funded to the full potential. I think we're very lucky here in Chicago. We have thriving libraries. We have wonderful libraries. There was a new library just opened in the West Loop not too long ago.
Right.
So there are resources going there, but he's speaking to the importance of that, of the library. He's speaking to an understanding of homelessness, and Rhymefest, a local Che Rhymefest, is in it. His father, he did a documentary about his own dad, and his dad was homeless, living a few blocks away from where he grew up on the South Side.
I didn't know that.
And apparently Emilio Estevez's mom saw that documentary and said, if this guy can act, you need to have him in your movie. And so Rhymefest can act, and you'll see that in the movie, and he was cast.
It's cool that he listened to, or that Emilio listened to mom.
Yeah, he says his mom is a huge influence on his life. I mean, I'm not sure about Charlie, how that what happened there, but maybe he's not listening to mom so much. But
hey, every family
Emilio
has one. And I love Martin Sheen, too. Did you ever see The Way?
No.
The Way is this famous Spanish road where people go and hike, walk, cuts through a huge portion of Spain. And the story is about Emilio Estevez, who always had a problem with his father. Emilio Estevez is a character in the movie. Always had a problem with his father. They didn't really get each other. And Emilio Estevez ends up dying on this road. And then Martin Sheen goes over, leaves or quits his job and goes over to walk the way to get a sense of where his son's last steps were. Meets a bunch of people along the way, some who knew his son. It's a cool movie.
Sounds like it. Well, it sounds like, you know, this is a very personal project for him, and he's directing it, he's acting in it, he's a librarian in it, and kind of goes back to those Breakfast Club days when you remember seeing him in the library. Remember when he walked back and forth during the detention?
Yeah.
Sort of a little flashback moment, but a very different role, and a role that, you know, I think he hopes that this is one of those things that makes you think, and we'll talk a little bit afterwards, one of those.
It's election day in Chicago, and we'll find out who Anna DeVlantis is voting for and how many times she's voting. Coming up, headlines next, 720 WGN. So I got a texter now who is telling me that my description of the movie The Way couldn't have been more off. This is the Emilio Estevez, Martin Sheen movie, and the texter writes.
Our listener, Rena Kalanka, who is from here, she was...
Oh, we like Rena a lot. She's a regular listener.
Yeah, I know you like to say her name. Yeah. She
Rena Kalanka!
She was a Spanish teacher at my high school, Carmel High School, in Mundelein for a lot of years, but she lives in Mexico now, and she said, oh boy.
Anything starts with oh boy isn't going to end well.
I know he was trying to do a good thing, but Steve could really use a quick lesson about El Camino de Santiago in Spain. It's not a road. There are many different roads, which are more like trails, such as the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Coast Trail. But I love Steve, so it's not a huge big deal.
I'm sorry I let you down, Rena Kalanka. You're exactly right, and I should have known more before I opened my big mouth.
I'm trying to think of what Spanish actor that you and Dean say the name wrong. I think he got an Oscar or was up for an Oscar she used to correct
me. Rena Kalanka! Do you know if Rena Kalanka and Anna Balabala are best friends? You just have fun all day saying their names. It's 9:47.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Anna DeVlantis here, Orion Samuelson there. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you, and happy Tuesday to you. It's 59 degrees here at WGN West in Scottsdale, Arizona, getting up to maybe 88 or 90 today.
So. Yeah, it's a little warmer than it's going to be here. Anna, Orion celebrated his 85th birthday
Happy
Sunday.
Happy birthday, Orion.
Well, thank you very much. Had a great, great party. A couple of restaurants that we term as our favorites out here, Tutti Santi at Lanz at Hermosa Inn. Had a great time with family and friends, and looking forward to the next 85.
Do you see a lot of Chicagoans out there this time of year, Orion? You running into them?
Yeah, yeah. At least 400,000 Chicagoans, they say,
how about that?
Live in
Isn't
the valley.
Crazy?
And a lot more of them come out during the season. And I have to say this, Chicago people a little surprised and disappointed that one of the famous steakhouses in Scottsdale is closing April 10th, Don and Charlie's.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard that.
What?
Yeah, Don and Charlie's.
That's
with
like
all
a, that's
of the
like
sport.
A Phoenix, that's like a Valley legend.
I know it. All of the sports memorabilia that they have in there from baseball teams and football and basketball. And during spring training, a lot of the baseball players stop at Don and Charlie's, which does have a Chicago connection. There is no Charlie, but Don is Don Carson of Carson's Ribs
right.
in
is that right?
Chicago. Yeah.
How about that?
Last time I was there, Big O, I don't know if Steve, I don't know if you were there because we were at Cubs camp, but went to Don and Charlie's. Willie Mays is sitting in the lobby signing autographs just inside the front door.
Well, it's too bad. It's too bad they closed the restaurant.
I mean, it's such a landmark.
Hey, Orion, I got to ask you a question. This threat to close the border is a huge deal for agriculture. How much ag are we getting from Mexico?
Well, we're getting, this time of the year, a lot of vegetables are coming in from Mexico, and the cattle go south and then are fed in Mexico, and then they come north again into the U.S. It's a pretty big economic situation. But on the other hand, a lot of people are saying we have to get that border under control. What's happening now is busloads are coming in with illegal immigrants, dropping them off at various spots in the city of Phoenix and Scottsdale, with no place to go. And it's getting to the point where it's very difficult for the communities to handle it. Churches are pretty much full. And so they've got to do something about the border. And, you know, I know ranchers who ranch on the border. And what they go through with the illegal immigrants that come across into their ranches, as a matter of fact, one rancher was shot and killed by a group of immigrants coming across the border. So they've got to do something about it. And I guess it's easy when you're not close to it to say, well, you know, we know what to do. But as I stated in my editorial this week, we have got to get immigration under control because we depend on it for labor on this side of the border. And then with trade, we depend on Mexico. They are the biggest buyer of U.S. pork at the moment. And so, yes, it's not good to have to close it. But on the other hand, we've got to do something. And Congress isn't doing anything. They're just sitting around and investigating instead of legislating. And a lot of people out here are getting tired of it.
So, Orion, really the big question is, how do you feel about avocados and guacamole?
Because we could have a 3 weeks left of the avocado supply.
Yeah, that's very true. And not only that, but one of the avocado ranches in Mexico came up with a salmonella problem that also cut into the supply.
So do you eat them?
Pardon?
Do you eat avocado?
Oh, yeah.
You like avocado? Guacamole. Steve doesn't like it.
I don't like guacamole.
Isn't that weird?
Well, I don't know if it's weird because I don't like broccoli, and a lot of people think that's weird, too. But
I've been judged all morning because of it.
I bet Orion doesn't like broccoli because we had a president that didn't like broccoli.
No, Orion doesn't like broccoli because he doesn't like broccoli. By the way, there's got to be a better answer than closing the border. So I agree that Congress get off your butt. Trump, get to Congress, talk to him. Do your jobs, all of you. And Trump and Orion will keep an eye, on the MillerCoors suing Bud Light over the corn syrup ads as well, which he brought up before anybody was talking about it. So that's it, my friend. We will talk to you next time. And, another 85 years underway.
I tell you what, do something about the flooding, because this is one of the most serious spring planting seasons coming up, because of all of the acres that are underwater, and as the floodwaters move down the Mississippi, it'll get even worse.
All right, thank you, my friend. Stay out of glory.
Okay.
That's Orion Samuelson. We'll come back, talk a little mayor's race as well on 720 WGN. And the band is packing up and about to end for the day. Yeah, they're partially bumping. All right, so you know Lori Lightfoot, Anna DeVlantis. You've known her tangentially for a long time.
Covered her, yeah, probably more so than most, because I think to a lot of people, she sort of came out of nowhere. She's a former federal prosecutor, police board in its various iterations. She was part of that over the years, and very involved in police issues here, as well as being a Mayor Brown.
Impressive?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I think the thing that I knew about her, having covered her and years ago when she was dealing with police issues, is how often I knew quietly, behind the scenes, she was standing up for what she believed was right and standing up to powerful people. And I always felt that that stood out to me, because you don't always see that. You see people falling in line with the way the most powerful person in the room goes in politics here. And I never saw that from her. And that always impressed me about her. She wasn't afraid to speak her mind and do what was right, and it never seemed to be about her or her best interests as much as it was about what she felt was right.
Oh, that's all good to hear. What will be your biggest challenge if she wins?
I think the fact that she, you know, she hasn't run major government offices, right? It's the biggest knock against her, but it's also maybe her biggest strength. I mean, her final message to voters is today is that I don't answer to anybody. I'm not part of the political machine.
Right.
If you feel that the political machine and the corrupt way of doing business here has not worked for you, and I think a lot of people do feel that way, or else she wouldn't be where she is at the top of the pack in that crowded race.
Yeah, for that, well done.
And so, and she's against the odds, too. I mean, the political insider said she didn't have the organization, she didn't have the money, she didn't have the name recognition.
None of us thought she'd be there.
No one really did. I sort of always did, because I felt that the winds were changing and that the need for reform was speaking to voters in a way we haven't seen before. Maybe it had to do partly with that federal probe that outed some of our most politically powerful people and shone another light on those people. I felt like the winds have changed a little bit, and she is where she is. The one thing I will tell you, though, just walking into the building, Steve, I would say there's a polling place down here on the first floor of our office building.
Anybody there?
Nobody there. Mm. And it was 8:30 at a time when you think that, you know, that they were just sitting around. There's not a single voter.
You gotta vote.
Get out and vote. Don't take this for granted.
Yep.
In a low voter turnout
don't
race,
vote,
we know
don't
what that
bitch.
Means.
Bill and Wendy next. The happy Wendy and the terribly depressed Bill Left join us now. Anna DeVlantis and Sandberg,
yes,
and everybody else. I don't know if you've had a restaurant you really liked that closed and you found out about it because Dave just heartlessly told you, but that's what happened to Bill yesterday.
I was blindsided, Steve.
Which one?
Lucky Fish in Highwood. Very sad.
I too was blindsided. It's a restaurant we frequent. So.
Did they run out of fish?
I guess so. It's really... They had one location, then they opened two locations, and then the second location closed, and then Dave dropped the bomb of the first location going away.
Sorry, it's all that. Of us, Dave.
Yes,
sometimes, though, when
Dave's
a restaurant closes, you get some lead time so you could go and visit
one last time,
and this just didn't happen.
So you didn't even have time to pay your respects.
I didn't know.
They had these lobster enchiladas that were so good.
Can we tell Steve about the pineapple, Dave?
Sure, you tell them.
They had a special there called the pineapple, which was a giant hollowed out pineapple filled with every kind of seafood you could imagine.
Awesome.
You get the seafood and a pineapple.
Is that taste combination a good idea?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wouldn't like it.
Because I used to take Anna DeVlantis over here. I don't know if you know Anna DeVlantis.
Yeah,
hi,
Anna. We've met.
I used to take Anna DeVlantis to Joe's Stone Crab.
Yeah.
I love that place.
I like the chopped seafood salad, which is a boy salad, which is basically some greens on the bottom piled with seafood.
What would you say, Anna?
15, 20 feet high?
It's got to be so good and so fresh.
The place we go to now has a thing called the blueberry. So it's a hollowed out blueberry.
With, just one?
Yeah.
One blueberry.
Appetizer or entree?
It's an entree, and it doesn't fill me up.
Nah, I wouldn't. No, I'm sorry.
It's not a substitute.
On behalf of all of us, I'm sorry for your loss.
You're very kind, Steve.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm wearing all black.
Yes, I noticed that. You know what? So am I. What are you doing today, Wen?
Sha Na Na. One of the founding members of Sha Na Na will be on with
Bowser?
Us.
Bowser?
No.
No.
Oh, keep guessing. Bobby?
Have...
No. Peter? Greg?
No. No.
Tiger?
No. You're just
Alice
trying to cheer me
Jan?
Up. No, you guys.
They have a reunion tour going on and a record and everything else. So we'll be talking to...
Bowser's literally the only member of Shauna and I could name.
Oh, this will be sad news for Jaco Marcellino, our guest.
Oh. Is it Jaco Marcellino?
Yes, it is. Very good.
Fantastic. Very Anna, nice. Thank you for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
All right, here's Wendy.